Good morning, church. It might not be a pretty day outside, but it is a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord and to see all of your faces. If you are a guest with us today, I just want to thank you for being here, and I hope that you feel extra welcome. We are glad you're here to worship with us today. If we haven't met, I'm Melanie. I'm the director of children's ministry here at Luke 4:18. So some announcements this morning. We have an interest meeting for mission trips both to Alaska and to Zambia. Those will both take place next summer. And it's just a brief meeting today just to find out more about that. It is in the Shore classroom. If you don't know where that is, you will just go right out this door, and it's right across the hall. That's right after worship today. We have a family fun night coming up on Friday. The theme is summer games, since it is the opening of the Olympics. We'll have dinner together and a short lesson from the life of Daniel, and then play some fun summer-themed Olympic games together. No cost to attend. It's free. Invite some friends, and we hope to see you on Friday. A fun event for the whole church that's coming up on Wednesday, July 31st. We're having a movie night, and that'll take place in here at 6 p.m. There will be popcorn and candy at no cost. And we, again, want you to invite your friends. So we do have some cute little movie tickets. Those are available in the lobby. So I encourage you to grab one of those and give it to a friend and invite them to come with you. There will not be any praise ministry or prayer and small groups that night. They will all meet in here for the movie. Grief Share begins on Thursdays from 10 to 12, beginning August 15th. If you're interested in attending Grief Share, see Billy Burt at the events table in the lobby for more info or to register. And today I'm wearing this super bright pink shirt because we have a lot of things going on in children's ministry. Our children's ministry is growing, and there are opportunities for you to serve if you feel called to kids and families. We have opportunities from a minimal time investment to a weekly commitment. And so if you're interested in learning more about that, I will be in the lobby after worship with another member from our Kidmen team, and we would love to share more with you about that. So thanks for joining us today.
Man, it's such an encouragement to see our kids director wanting to get anybody and everybody interested in the lives of our kids signed up and ready to go. So if you don't even know which just places that they could put you for those types of ministries, I encourage you just go back and talk to her. I'm sure that she would like to talk both of your ears off about that. So we'd love for you to do that. And we need you to use your ears and your mouth this morning to sing with us. So why don't you stand and welcome those around you today? We praise the Lord in the good times and the bad times, when the sun's shining, when it's raining. Let's sing together.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name.
Sing this.
Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name.
Sing every blessing.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. Blessed be your name when the sun shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be. your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. You give and take away, you give and take away, my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away, you give and take away.
Sing it today.
My heart.
I was sinking deep in sin.
I was sinking deep in sin, off from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now saved am I.
Our story today. He lifted us up when we could not lift ourselves up. Amen. Let's sing to the King today.
Sing to the King who is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was saved. Yeah.
We watch, we pray.
Stephanie's going to lead us in the goodness of God this morning.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days have been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so
for my
Continue to worship today. Amen. He's always been faithful. He's always been good. He may not give you every single thing that you want, but he's going to give you every single thing that you need. Amen. Do you believe that? Let's sing this together.
God sent his son. They call him Jesus. He came to
I'll find life's fire.
God, you're our God. We praise you all the day long. We pray that our praise would never fail to be on our lips for the things that you've done for us, for the way that you love us, the things that you have given to us that we absolutely did not deserve. And you blessed us so richly, not only in our own life, but here at Luke 418 Fellowship. We thank you so much that we get to know you better each and every week, that we get to grow in you, abide in you together as a family of believers, and that we are going in Christ to the world with all these opportunities like Alaska and Zambia, Southeast Asia, Lord. We just thank you so much that we are not idly sitting by knowing the truth, but that we are able to go out and to share with all those around. And we pray, Lord, that you would not take your presence away from us, that you would lead us all the day long, that you would be our good shepherd, even in the valley, the good days and the bad. We say, blessed be your name today as you lead us along. Amen.
Oh, words with heavenly comfort from Amen. What is a joy to be here this morning. I am just so thankful for Brother Aaron and the team as they lead us. And Stephanie, as she's saying, the goodness of God led us in that. I'm going to have to call CC Wine and let her know. But I am just overwhelmed today and just so excited. I'm going to take a pause from the book of James as we've been walking through the book of James for a few months. And today I'm going to share with you, as it's been a year and a half since we purchased the property next to us, I'm going to share with you today what the Lord is leading us and directing us to move forward over there. But before I do that, I want to start by opening our scriptures to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. I want to ask the question today, what is the purpose for the church? What is the purpose of the church? And to answer that question, I think we first must ask, what is the purpose for an individual who is a believer in Christ? What is the purpose for a Christian? Now, for some of us, we may get this mixed up with the American dream. Sometimes we can think that the purpose for an individual or a Christian who they think is a good person, they begin to say, well, it's to build success, it's to gain power, to have a legacy, to be financially secure, or to be, as I said, a good person. The problem is that none of those are bad things. The problem is that all of those are me-focused. When we come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior, we lay our life down and pick up His cross and follow Christ. We lay down the old self and we put on the new self. As we've talked about, salvation is that moment, or justification is that moment where we are saved from the penalty of sin. Praise God, that happens at the moment of salvation. But then after that, we walk through until we breathe our last breath, a time of sanctification, which is the being, sanctification is that we are defeating by the power of Christ in our life, the power of sin over us. And so therefore, our life's purpose as a believer can't be about ourselves, because that's what sanctification is doing, is removing the self in our life. So what is our purpose as an individual believer? Then I think that it will go directly into what is our purpose as a church. 1 Corinthians 10:31, I think, says it so clearly. Whatever then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. What is a believer's purpose? I believe that it is this: to give God glory in all things. I like what Jonathan Edwards says. Embracing and practicing true religion and repenting of sin and turning to holiness is expressed by glorifying God, as though that is the sum and the end of the whole matter. The sum and the end of our life, the whole matter of our life, is not about me, but it's all about bringing glory to the name of Jesus. Think about this, church. When you came to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, what could you do to bring about salvation? Nothing. So just simply salvation is pointing to Christ and bringing glory to the one who loved us so much that He gave His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you and for me. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, He walked forth from the grave, conquering death, hell, and the grave. Church, our life from the moment of salvation is all about Jesus Christ. It's all about bringing glory to God and God alone. We've laid our life down for the purpose of glorifying God. So what is the church's purpose? I believe that the church's purpose is to glorify God in all that it does. How do we do this? I think that Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 is one of many verses that spells this out. As you know, we've already preached on this. We've already walked through the book of Ephesians. But let me just read to you 11 through 13. And He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to build up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure and stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Church, what do we see in this passage? But we see the purpose of the church to equip the saints. We see the purpose of equipping the saints for them to go and all of us to serve. Church, we see the purpose of all of this for the building up of the body of Christ. All of this is to bring glory to the name of Jesus. We can't do it without Christ. We can't bring about salvation in our own life without Christ. We can't bring about sanctification in our life without abiding to the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Listen, we can't build the church outside of Jesus Christ doing it in and through us. The Lord doesn't tell us to build country clubs. He tells us to build up the body of Christ until we attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. So, church, just a few things that I just want to say today before I share with you about what the Lord is putting on our hearts. I believe the purpose of the church is to glorify God in the equipping of the saints. To glorify God in the equipping of the saints. Just three real quick things. One of that is corporate worship. When we come here together, we are worshiping together and being equipped for the purpose to go forth and serve. This is why Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 speaks of the fact that we're not to neglect the gathering of the brethren. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 speaks also of this understanding that they came together for the apostles' teaching, to fellowship and breaking of bread, and for prayer. To glorify God in the equipping of the saints through corporate worship. To glorify God in the equipping of the saints through prayer. You say, but David, what if God doesn't answer my prayer request? How am I supposed to bring glory to God? Because God's given you the strength to walk through that situation, even if it's not the answer you want. Listen, all of you know, I've talked many times. It's been, I just realized last month I have been here 15 years at Luke 4:18, which means 13 years ago, this July, 13 years ago, God healed me from a non-curable disease. And for 13 years, I've shared the testimony and the story, and I've heard so many people ask me, David, why does God heal some and not others? And I always tell them, listen, that's the wrong question. What we need to see is that the goodness of God is with us, and He is faithful through it all. He's faithful to heal, and He's faithful also to walk you through the situation. And the world needs to see both sides of that. The world needs to see that God is faithful in all things. And so listen, though we may not get the answer that we want, we can still glorify God because He's given me everything I need for life and godliness. We're called to glorify God in the equipping of the saints through personal growth. Through personal growth, that we live worthy of the calling, as Ephesians 4:1 says. Or as it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. It'll be on the screen for you. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that the things in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify your Father on visitation, on the day of visitation. Glorify God. Church, the purpose of the church is to equip the saints for the glory of God. It's not just simply to equip the saints. It's not just to give you a bunch of knowledge. It's not just so that you'll sit soaking sour. It's not so that you can go out and say, hey, look at all that I know. Oh, look at how deep our pastor went on this message. If it's not affecting the heart for the glory of God, we missed it. This is why I tell you, the best thing that you could tell a pastor is not great message on Sunday morning, but that I am living out the message that God gave to speak through you. Church, the purpose of the church is to bring glory to God through the equipping of the saints. But then it goes further in Ephesians 4. The purpose of the church is to bring glory to God through the serving of the saints. And that includes the pastors. This is not, hey, I equip you so you can go serve and I can sit back. If I'm not out there serving, listen, when we had Connect Camps, if I wasn't out there serving, how could I ever ask you to come be a part and serve? That's the reason why when we prayed about and thinking about Southeast Asia or South Asia and having a mission organ partnership there, I went there first for a purpose, for a reason. Why? Because I knew that if I don't go and show that, hey, it's not just y'all, it's all of us together, then here I am sitting on my high horse thinking, hey, y'all go do it and I'll just sit back. No, we're all called to go and serve. The scripture says that we're called to serve both the body of Christ and those who don't know Christ. Look at Galatians 6:2. It says that we're called to carry one another's burdens, talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ. But then 1 Peter 4:10 and Matthew 5:16 both speak of us serving in a way and letting our good works in a way show and bring glory to God. It says in Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light shine in such a way before men so that they may see your works, your good works, and glorify who? Your Father. So that people who don't know Christ will see you serving and loving them in the way that you can't love them outside of Christ doing it in and through you, and they glorify your Father who's in heaven. So we see that the purpose of the church is to glorify God in the equipping of the saints. The purpose of the church is to glorify God in the serving of one another and those who are lost. But can I tell you that the purpose of the church goes further, as it says, to glorify God by the building up of the body of Christ. Church, oftentimes we think, well, the building up of the body of Christ is just equipping the saints. But let me tell you, if we're going to grow the body of Christ, that means we've got to make his name known. Matthew 28:19-20, the Great Commission. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you. I am with you. Church, I don't know if we recognize this. I am, the great I am, is with you as you go, even to the ends of the age. We recognize in 1 Peter 2:9, one of my favorite passages in Scripture. I know Genesis to Revelation is my favorite, but one of my favorite passages. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. So that you may what? Proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Church, we are called to bring glory to the name of God by going forth and making his name known. That's the beauty of missions. That's the beauty of sharing the gospel. It's not like, hey, this is an obligation. I have to go do this. So let me go tell somebody about Jesus and make it really awkward real quick. Instead, I get to say, hey, I have the blessing to bring glory to the name of Jesus by walking in obedience of sharing the greatest news with each of you. And that is that Jesus loves you. And he died for you. And he rose again, conquering death, hell, and the grave. And if you submit to the lordship of Christ, you too shall be set free from the enemy. Church, we must recognize that the purpose of the church is to glorify God in the equipping of the saints. The purpose of the church is to glorify God in our serving. The purpose of the church is to glorify God in making his name known by building up of the body of Christ. But we also see in this passage, in verse 13, until we attain the unity of the faith. I believe that part of the purpose of the church is to bring glory to God by preserving the unity that the Spirit brings. We see that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. And in verse 3 it says that we are called to preserve the unity of which the Spirit brings us. Can I just tell you that this is why at Luke 4:18, our vision statement is know Christ intimately, grow in Christ daily, and go in Christ throughout the world. We, for short, and I have a bracelet on, say no, grow, and go. And the reason we do that is to keep the purpose in front of us, because it's very easy to get me focused. Listen, as I drove to Peoria, Illinois, there was a church that I passed, and I guess it's a church. It was a church building, and it said, I Church. Now, they were playing off of the iPad and the iPhone and all of this, and let me just tell you, the church is about Jesus Christ. The church is about the glory of God being shown throughout our city. We must recognize that we need to lay our life down and show the world the glory of God. By the way that we equip the saints, by the way that we serve one another and others, by the way that we make his name known, by the way that we walk in unity, may we know Christ intimately, grow in him daily, and go in Christ throughout the world. Now I want you to hear, church, all of the body of Christ have the same ultimate purpose. The Big C Church has the same ultimate purpose, and that is to bring glory to the triune God. But we accomplish this in different ways, and that doesn't mean that everyone's style or program or way of doing something is perfect. If you ever meet a pastor that says his way is perfect, I would be very careful. Because pastors are broken vessels, just like you. But pastors are called to seek the Lord to guide the sheep that God has blessed them with, to bring glory to God by knowing him, to bring glory to God by growing in him, to bring glory to God by going in him throughout the world. What I'm going to share with you today, we must have a central focus, and that is that if we must keep in mind that we do all of this for the glory of God, and if not, there's no reason to do it. What I'm going to share with you today may be unique for Luke 4:18 and maybe not for other little C churches, but that's okay, because we are all called together for the kingdom of God and have different ways of doing things. Some churches have choirs, some don't. Some have shorter messages, some don't. I don't know why y'all are laughing. Some have liturgy, some don't. We could go on and on, but that doesn't mean one's right or one's wrong. As long as our heart is focused to glorify God in all that we say and do, and as long as the Word of God is the foundation, then praise God that He's growing the church. So I want to take the rest of our time, and if you are a visitor or guest here today, thank you for being here. Now you know our purpose. But I'm going to share with all of us what the Lord has been putting on our hearts for the last year and a half. Now, I don't know, so this is a little bit different than most Sundays. We're going to be showing some pictures and different things. But I'm so excited, because I was ready to share with y'all a year and a half ago, but the Lord continued to direct our steps, and I had to wait. Have you ever had to wait? Have you ever had to be patient? Have you ever had to be patient when other people wanted to know? It's tough, isn't it? Well, today I'm going to share with you what the Lord's been putting on our heart about the property. Just so you'll know, and y'all can show that video of the flyover, the drone. About a year and just a few months ago, almost a year and a half ago, God allowed us, through his grace and mercy, to purchase the 14 and a half acres right next to Luke 4:18 Fellowship. That's right over here to the north. It covers all the way to Solly Road, all the way to Cottage Hill Road, everything except for the old CVS building. Now, when we purchased this property, I shared with you, and by the way, miracles still happen in the Southern Baptist Church, because we had 100% vote. 100% unity to purchase this property. But all that to be said, when we purchased it, the two buildings that were on the property, we said, hey, we're gonna rehab that and make it our use space. And guess what we did? We got plans. We were ready to move on those buildings. We were excited. We had a contractor. Everything was ready to go. And then we got annexed into the city. And when we got annexed into the city, and this is all that land, you can cut that video now. When we got annexed into the city, did you know that the city and county have different permits and plans and regulations? I didn't know that. We just need one for the whole country. No, I'm just... So we found out very quickly as we were about to execute the plan that it was going to require some changes. Changes to meet city ordinances. We were going to have to add parking, which costs a lot of money. We were going to have to add and put major accommodations to fix some things that the county wouldn't have been so much. And our land team began to think and say, is it really worth us putting, at this point, the price tag had ballooned to $500,000 into buildings that are 40 plus years old that may last 15, 10 years. And as we began to pray over that, all of a sudden the CVS building came open. And we met as a land team and we were like, man, this is awesome. Like, we could possibly get the old CVS and that would be a amazing use space. Can you imagine? I think it was like 14,000 square feet, something like that. I don't know. That just sounds like a lot to me. But we looked into that. We prayed over it. We talked with the people selling it and found out real quickly that it was going to be a price tag that wasn't even something that we would bring to the church. As we prayed over it and said, Lord, if you want us to have this, you're going to have to open up a way, and it's going to have to be way... We're going to have to see your guidance in this. And during that time of praying, we realized, I don't know how many parents want their kids walking a quarter of a mile on Solly Road to get to the CVS for use space. I began to think, even just personally, I said, I don't know if my wife's going to be okay with that. And we began to think about that because it is a long way over there. And about the time that we said, hey, it's too far away, though it would be a great space, it's too far away for safety concerns and just the location on the property, right about that time, we found out that the building was being sold and that there's going to be, at least what I've been told, an Ace Hardware that's coming into that building. So as we hit that second closed door, I came to the church in January and I said, pray and fast. I asked you to get on your knees and cry out to the Lord and fast and pray for our team, for wisdom. We didn't meet as a land team until after that 28 days of prayer and fasting ended, because I didn't want anybody to be persuaded by somebody's opinion. I wanted us to all hear from the Lord together. And can I tell you that when we came back together, the meeting was very short compared to other meetings. And we all had the same consensus. And since that point, the Lord has led us and we have continued to walk through this path that I bring to you today. So yes, it's been 4 months since the Lord placed this on our hearts, but we wanted to get things in proper place before I shared. The Lord kept taking us back to what is our need. If you remember, we had three major needs. We need dedicated use space. All God's youth said amen. We need it, or we need more parking as we grow. Our parking right now has become, we have enough parking because we have gone from... 1.5 per car to about 2.5 per car. I don't know how you have 2.5 people in a car, but we need more parking. And then the third thing was that we need more space for life groups. And so as we sought that out, we said, what is the number one thing? The number one thing that we need was youth space. We've talked about that. The whole biggest purpose in buying that land was, hey, this space would be youth space and we'd have dedicated space. And then we realized that $500,000 would be sunk into a building. So we began to pray and began to talk and we began to think and strategize and seek the Lord. And the Lord continued to put on our heart the idea of building a metal building for youth space in the back green area over here. Because it would be close, it'd be within walking distance, it would be right next to our parking lot that's already there. We have a few pictures of some designs that have already, and let me just tell you where the design came from. Randy worked at a church where they had a metal building type place that was perfect for youth ministry. And so we asked them for their designs, and they sent them all to us, and we have people working on engineering and the design of it right now as we speak. Well, I say as we speak, it's Sunday. But show me the first picture of that room. So this is the space for youth ministry. Think about this for a second. What's beautiful about the fact that it is concrete is that if y'all have a pie thrown in somebody's face, it's real easy to clean up. Not that y'all ever do that. But there's room from the stage forward, and you see the roof. It's all open. You don't have to deal with a whole bunch. I mean, this is basic, but yet what everything that they would need. Now, to the right and to the left is storage behind the stage. Go to the picture of all the students that were in this room. And this is only about half of the room filled. The room can hold, with chairs, 250 to even 300 people. All right? Go to the next picture for me. This is from the side of the room. Instead of having a wall, they had a wall halfway on each side. This picture and show the next one. On each side that allows them to space off to have people on the front, the back, the other side. Open space, but yet can still meet in different small groups and different groups how they want to spread out. And you could even have somebody in front of the soundboard and somebody further up in the open space at the far left corner. You say, but David, what about privacy? Well, listen, when you have multiple people in there, think about how much you can really hear when people are talking here and they're on the other side and you're struggling. You can't hear all of that. And when there is need for someone to talk with our youth pastor or one of our youth leaders, obviously there will be an atrium on the other side of this that they could go to, or we could even have a place for that as needed. And then on the back side of the room is, and I think we have that picture, a serving area. Now, to the left of this is bathrooms. To the right of it is a storage area. The beautiful part about this, though this is 100% dedicated youth space, if the youth are not using it, we could have, obviously, a church-wide activity in there. Or we can put tables out. Now, I want you to hear this, and I'm going to say it multiple times. This would not be where we sit and eat on Wednesday nights because it's youth space. It's not where it's going to be dedicated youth space. But that doesn't mean that on a Tuesday or a Thursday or something that if we need it or we did something church-wide or maybe we had something out on the land and then it started raining and we have a place that's large enough. But here's the beauty of this is that because it's a metal building, because it's concrete flooring, because it's very open, the cost stays down. Now, the cost is still expensive, but the cost stays down. One of the things that we are also talking about doing in this building is also putting an atrium right behind this wall and then having our offices on the other side of the atrium so that our office space over here could be used as life group space, which would open up about 8 classrooms. So that would allow the atrium to be used by both, right? Students could have an atrium to hang out in before they go in, but also during the week, the office is there, and we have an atrium that we could counsel, meet with people, any of those types of things. And so this, about 15, 20% of it would be office space behind there, and 80% of that building would be youth-focused. Now here's the other part, and I hate to use numbers because we don't have full numbers. But I want you to hear that right now, a median estimate is about $2 million. That's a median estimate. Okay, so it could be less than that, it could be higher than that. But here's the really cool part. The finance team unanimously approved moving $500,000 from our surplus into this, so it's already at least a fourth funded. And so we already have $500,000 towards this. Now, the second thing that we talked about was outdoor space or parking, as we mentioned. And here's where I want to really take a few moments and share. As we looked at that, as we looked at the space out there, we said that we needed parking, but I shared with y'all that we really want some outdoor space. So in doing so, one of the things that we talked about was building a outdoor space, and we used the term a park, that would be open for our community to use. A gift to our city, though our city would not own it, but a gift to the people of our city that if they wanted to come from 8 o'clock to 7 o'clock or whatever times we decide on, that it would be open for them. And so we have been praying through, went out to San Antonio, because right after the Lord put this on my heart, we found out that one of my friends, who's a pastor, I say one of my friends, Ed Newton, the guy who spoke here, y'all remember Ed? He had just done this, and I didn't know that when the Lord was putting it on my heart, so we flew out there, we looked around, we saw that, came back, prayed over, spent a year and a half in preparing and thinking through, and so I want to show you some preliminary, but yet very real sketch of what the park is going to look like. Now, I have this really cool thing. Let's see. There we go. All right, so this right here is Solly Road, and this is our property right here. Right? That's our where Russ and the maintenance, where they work. Y'all know those. And then this is our parking lot right here. What we're looking at is all of this parking right here. This is where the red house is. That's actually, you won't see it in about 2 weeks or so. A couple weeks, it'll be gone. But our parking would be right here that would be used also for Sunday morning. If we need parking, we have extra parking. But we would have an entrance here with a ramp that goes up the incline with steps as well into this outdoor space. This is right here. Can y'all see over there? Am I in y'all's way? This right here is the old Young Life building and the old chapel. So what we see here is that you would come in an entrance here or an entrance here, but there is only one entrance to the parking lot, which is right here for, quote-unquote, the park. Now, in this space, right here where the laser is, that is a playscape that is kind of the central point of this park so that when people are driving by, they see that playscape, a large playscape for the older kids. Right here is a smaller kid's playscape. Right here is, anybody guess it? Pickleball. Three sets there and three there. That makes six total pickleball. You may say, David, why do you need six pickleball courts? Just wait. Trust me. Just wait. Those are fenced with lighting as well. Now, these little things like here and here are small little gazebos that people could sit in, those three right there. Right here, this thing that looks like an eight, that is a splash pad. Pickleball court again, this is the bathroom. This right here is a pavilion that can seat 500 people in it, chair by chair, for an outdoor event if we would like. In that pavilion would obviously have, you can see the basketball court drawn out. You can go this way, you can go this way, or you can go this way. These would have electronic goals that go up whenever the park is closed. And so you would have that. And then this right here is the walking path or running path all the way around. Or you can go in, you can go over. But this is the walking path all the way around through all the beautiful legacy oaks and stuff that's in this wooded area. Our goal would be to cut down as few trees as possible. You can see some of the healthy trees are the ones that you see the circles all the way around. This is the back of our property. We still have quite a bit of land here. And this right here is a shaded area for parents to be able to sit under to see any direction that they would want to. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I love the idea of outdoor space for our community and for us to use as Luke 4:18 fellowship. People say, well, David, how do you control it? Well, I've talked with two different churches that have parks like this, and they said that by God's grace, they've had zero incidents. But they said, make sure that you have good lighting, cameras, good security, and some type of fencing that at least shows the outline of the space. Because that allows for the park to kind of show the outline, but then also if you have a gate at the front, you can close that shows that it's closed, and then you just have to make sure that you follow through with all the things that you have placed. But here's the part that you probably don't know, because many of y'all know that we have been looking at this. By the way, do y'all have pictures of the gazebo or the Okay, so this is a picture of the exact, in some sense, design of that space. You can see how that's up. There it is. Now you can see how there's can be 500 people in there, right? Seat by seat. So we could have outdoor service right there under the overhang. And then do you have pictures of the pickleball? This is just a picture of a playscape that we saw at the park. It may not look anything like that. And then the pickleball courts with, you can see the fencing around and all of that. But here's what the Lord really put on my heart. That was the entrance to the park where we went to. As we prayed over this, the Lord reminded me that there was somebody in our city that was very, very, very impactful to our city, who spent many years serving the city and loving this city and pouring their heart out. And all of y'all know that he's also the one that the Lord used to found Luke 4:18 Fellowship. And what the Lord has been putting on my heart, and I've taught with both of his sons, is for us to name this Fred H. Wolf Memorial Park. Now, with that being said, let me just share with you a little bit about, we would have an entrance like this that obviously has a plaque that speaks of his legacy and all that he did, but I want you to hear, we are honoring what God did in and through him, that God's name may be glorified for how he used Brother Fred in the lives of so many. So I want to share with you two other things. One is obviously we're going to be praying and raising funds as the Lord leads us. We're going to continue to give to Joshua. The Joshua Fund. That is what we're going to use to walk through the priorities of need. Now, church, let me tell you, the first need is youth space. We already have a fourth or so. We don't know the exact cost, so don't hold me to that exact number until I can bring you the exact number. But we already have a large sum towards that. But I'm going to ask the church, the body of Christ here, to give, and when they give, to give to Joshua. The Joshua Fund, as I said, will go in the priority of needs, but the Joshua Fund will go towards both the youth space and the outdoor space. But because we recognize that there may be people in our community that's not a member of Luke 4:18 that may want to give towards what we're doing in honor of Brother Fred for the glory of God, our finance committee has created for the first time and the only time a designated account called the Fred Wolf Memorial Fund. And the reason we did that, and hear me out very, very clearly, the reason we did that is I don't want somebody in the community to give money towards the outdoor space and then they come on campus and say, man, y'all have a nice youth building. I don't want them to think, well, hey, I gave towards that, but y'all built a youth building. I want to make sure that we are very, very, very clear that those who give specifically to that in our community, we want that to go directly to the outdoor space, no questions asked. But for the church, the body of Christ, you say, David, how do I decide between the two? You don't. You give to Joshua. Because that goes in the order of our needs as a body of Christ. That we build space for our youth so that we can see even more them knowing Christ intimately, growing in Christ daily, going in Christ throughout the world. But then that goes towards this outdoor space. And church, let me tell you, the reason that I started with the purpose of the church is that if we miss the purpose, there's no reason to build it. If we build outdoor space and people in our community are coming and being a part, but yet we're not engaging the people of our community and sharing with them the gospel and offering water and serving and going forth for the kingdom of God, we missed it. You say, David, it's going to be really great that we have a playscape. We have pickleball courts, yeah. And I pray that you have to wait in line too when the community's here because they want to play pickleball. And while you're waiting, even though we have 6 courts, you're sharing. You're sharing about Luke 4:18 in the heart of why this is here. And it's to show the glory of God that he did in and through the church, the body of Christ. And church, if we miss that point, there's no reason to build this. Now I want to share one other thing. And this is important, but not something that we have fully decided on, but something that we need to bring to your attention. And if you'll show that last slide for me. On this last slide shows the property that we have, 14 and a half acres. This is Solly Road, Luke 4:18 Fellowship. This is the space for the park. The reason I show you this is that this space right here, though we love having, we're asking the Lord to show us if we need to keep this or whether we need to put it up for sale. The reason I say that is because if we sold this, we've been told that we could not clear everything for what we spent on the property, but we could get pretty close. So the reason is that I don't want to strap Luke 4:18 down into a whole bunch of debt. And so I don't say that we sell this unless we realize that, hey, we're going to be strapped down with a whole lot of debt. The reason that that's so valuable is because it's on Cottage Hill Road. You may say, but David, we have an access to Cottage Hill Road. Hey, I've pulled in and out of that a few times, and it is dangerous. I've seen how some of y'all drive. It is dangerous and only going to get worse as they open up the new gas station over here. Now, I'm not saying that we have to sell this, but I don't feel like the Lord is saying to me, David, strap the church down in a whole bunch of debt. Now, you may say, what would it take to keep that? Well, a generous donation? Hearing the Lord say, keep this? The finance is coming in a way that we don't have to sell it. But I just want you to know that we have been told and have sought this out, and our land team feels very comfortable about this, that if we were to go forth with that the only debt that we have right now is on the property that we purchased, and it would cover a large, probably 2/3 of that note. See, the property that we needed, and if you remember, we had to buy all or none of it, right? The property that was valuable to us is the least valuable financially. Because the most valuable property is the one that's over here by Cottage Hill Road. And so that is something that we are praying over. And we will not sell that land without us coming and having a vote and sharing that with you. Now you may see something go up in order to see if there's even interest in it. But I want you to hear that it would come before the church before we made a final decision. I want to close with this. You put it back on the part for me. All of this is for the glory of God. But that doesn't mean that, hey, we just build a building for the glory of God if we're not using it for the glory of God. If we're not active in helping people know Christ intimately, if we're not active in helping people grow in Christ daily, if we're not active in going in Christ throughout the world, then all we're saying is we're going to build a building in the glory of God, and we don't really mean it in our heart. Our heart has to be fully in it. Our heart has to say, I truly see and am excited and desire to move forward for the glory of God, to use this for His kingdom and for His glory. Church, I told you the reason that I'm not a big fan of building just a whole bunch of buildings, even though we are looking at use space, is because buildings don't get used as often, but outdoor space, they can get used a whole lot. It doesn't get real cold down here. It does get hot, but people still come out when it's hot. Church, I'm here to tell you that my heart, our leadership's heart of the land team, the deacons, and the finance team, all of us are in unity presenting this to you today with our hearts saying that this would be to win our city for the glory of God. That this whole project would be to win our city for the kingdom of God. So church, I'm going to be here for a little bit. I would love for you to come, and if you have thoughts or questions, I'm not going to open it up today just because we have just a couple minutes left. For those who are visiting, thank you so much for being here. I know that this is unique. This is not something that we do all the time, actually. This is the first time, I think, in my 4 years of ministry that we have here at Luke as pastor have taken this time. But this was something that I wanted the whole church to hear together. I know several people are online with us today because of the rough weather outside. Thank you all for being with us online. And I pray that your heart is in unison as we say, this must be for the glory of God, and we must use it for His kingdom and for His glory, or otherwise there's no purpose in building it. So church, I want to close by praying. And I want to pray that God would continue to lead us and direct us.